And I'm Zach, and I'm glad that I'm back reporting for duty. My uniform may not conform to the regs. My shorts are worn down over my legs. Quit laughing, it's fashion, I'm sagging. And actually, I'm asking you to ignore my booty. I perform bad if I don't look hip. My shorts gonna drag to the floor of the ship. The captain looked mad, maybe taking it back. But that's when I heard a wave and a crash. I tripped and fell, landed flat on my back. The ship's all swelled as I faded to black. Oh, captain, my captain, yo, what the heck happened? I'm gasping for air, and I do not know what happened. I looked to the water and stared in awe at the largest monster I ever saw. Oh, captain, my captain, we gotta go faster. The crack is attacking, and this is a disaster. Then I looked down, the captain was dead, flat on the ground, smashed to the deck. I grabbed the captain's cap, put it on my head. The crew knew that the old cap was dead. But who knew that the new dude straight from YouTube could act as captain instead? Listen up, crew, I'm Captain Zach. The news is true, the crack is back. We can't hang loose, we can't relax. Here's what we do, prepare to attack. Man the cannons, load them with lead. Send the spotter up the crow's nest. Bail water over the edge. Sail harder or we'll all be dead. Faster, faster, we gotta go faster. The crack is attacking and this is a disaster. The cephalopod thinks he owns the sea. And I pray to God that they never be. Faster, faster, we gotta go faster. The crack is attacking and this is a disaster. We killed our captain and he's not sorry. So we'll make some cow look far.
Which way is aft?
Aft is towards the stern.
Well, which way is the stern?
Faster, faster, we gotta go faster. The crack is attacking and this is a disaster. We broke our mast like a total clown. So we gotta go faster or we're going down. Gotta go faster, gotta go faster. The crack is attacking and this is a disaster. Tentacles flashing like a whip, crashing into our sinking ship. Gotta go faster, gotta go faster.
Welcome in, everyone. Hope you're doing well. And today we are talking about mythical sea creatures. How you doing, Tuttles?
I'm doing good. Sorry, I'm just trying to send a million and one invites out.
I know. Thanks for doing that. I was doing the same. It's always a challenge to try and update the background picture and have the song queued up all within the first like 5 seconds. So hopefully that, you know, hopefully everybody's seeing a mermaid in the background right now. And
I was the second one and I do see the mermaid. So you got her on time.
Right on. Welcome, Dina Jo. Hope you're doing well. And we got Richie, Shep. We've got Coach here. Let's see who else has joined us. We have Aaron and Chris Wilson so far. Thank you. So, and there's Mr. Eric Kirk.
The professor,
Podfather.
The Podfather and the professor. I call him the professor just because I'm a different asshole.
Yes, sir. So, I have to admit, welcome Bartolini, I've kind of only got one mythical sea creature in mind, and of course it ties into the Bible because that's just how I roll. It seems to end up happening that way.
Would that be the Leviathan?
Yeah, dang it. How did you know?
Because all my research, that's the only one they can find, actually.
Really? And are we going to be able to talk about
it? There is a mention of mermaids, but... Okay. It's disputed.
Yes. Sirens, mermaids, all the same. Luring pirates to their doom with their beautiful sounds of song and whatnot. So, yes.
Oh, yeah, we'll be talking about the crack because we're a big fan of crack around here. So, yeah. The crack will definitely be brought up.
If you notice, that was kind of our intro song there, Richie. welcome, Pine. Welcome, Pine. So, yeah, the Kraken as well. Who else are we going to be talking about tonight?
Well, basically just mermaids, the Kraken, the Leviathan. If anybody else has any other ones, you know us, feel free to chime in and, you know, say what you want to say. We're here to listen and, you know, discuss some neat ideas and see what we can come up with.
Pioneer Funny, am I allowed to call in? I'm an admin. Yeah, you can call in, Dan.
Who the hell made Pine an admin?
What do you think? Come on.
Just
now.
Busting chops, man.
Administrator purposes here.
And I'm also, I'm curious if Mr. Chris Wilson, since he's always a plethora of information, I wonder if he's got anything on sea creatures.
Absolutely.
Oh, of course, of course. So I'm not sure at what point I'll let you chime in. And I know, Mr. Wilson, you can go pretty depth, and I've listened to you go on and on. I don't know how you have the stamina for it, but that's it's great. Thanks for joining in. Oh, and we got Big Chief Thunderlong in.
Call you Chris.
All right, sorry about that.
No, I do that too. It's like it's a legendary status, Chris.
Right.
Well, no, this is a woman. Okay, you're a man. The point is, it's called respect.
Pine,
okay?
You can call me Mrs. Bella if you want. I mean, it sounds a little.
That's your dog's name.
I know, but I'm her owner, so I don't know. It works in a reverse kind of way, so.
Mrs. Bella is my mother's name.
Mrs. Bella, I just want to compliment you on your new appearance.
Oh, thank you. You like my new photo?
Yes, I do. I think it's very attractive. I think it's appropriate.
Well, goodness, thank you very much. I appreciate it. The difference is some makeup, so duly noted.
I should have just made you the mermaid, to be honest, but
yeah, no, well, the who is this?
This is Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah, yeah, we've used
50-foot.
Go ahead.
She was the 50-foot tall woman we used, and now she's our mermaid.
Yes. Yes. So, no, I did not pose for it, Richie. Like Tuttles was saying, I should have, but we just don't have that kind of time around here. I'd have to go find fins and everything. And plus, it would take me a couple hours to get to a sandy beach to pose for it properly. So,
your backyard's a sandy beach. Just
well, there's
the
no
water.
In a way,
I'm
yeah.
I'm in Southwest Florida. I'm in Naples. So, I'm by the water.
No, it wasn't a 50-foot mermaid, Richie. It was a 50-foot giant. What show was that? Do you remember?
Attack of the 50-foot woman.
Attack of the 50-foot woman, yes. So, but she was also the mermaid from, gosh, was it Tom?
Splash.
Is Tom Hanks was in that, right?
Splash, yes.
Daryl Hannah?
Yes.
Yep.
The ship says he'll be the photographer. Yes, it was Tom Hanks. Thanks, Dina Jo. All right, so... Now that I think we've got a good amount of the folks in here, did you want me, Tuttles, to play that mermaid clip? I don't remember exactly how long it was.
No, it's sort of.
It's hard to say.
You know what? If you can cue it up, pardon the pun. Play it, and then I'll sort of describe as to what you actually listened to. It's called The Bloop, and I'm sure Chris Wilson knows what The Bloop is. Anyways, it's the sound of the bloop from when your guys' Navy unleashed a fucking underground bomb that was like a shockwave, and it beached all the whales and everything in 2002. But anyways, that's another story for another day.
That's what happened.
They use ultrasonic sound. And basically, it not only did the whales, it did the porpoises and the dolphins.
Yep, and they discovered a mermaid.
I thought it was the Kraken.
No, and they discovered a mermaid, and they kept it alive for 8 years in a tank. But that's another story for another day. Well, actually, no, today's Mermaid Day, isn't it?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
But yeah, you can play that clip if you would like.
Okay. Welcome, Woody Bush. So, topic of the day is...
El Gato is in the house.
Hey, Woody Bush. How you doing?
Wifey Lori.
Yeah, welcome. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and play this. We got a little bit of an echo. I'm not sure who that's coming from. It's got to be Mr. Wilson. If I can get you to mute yourself just for a moment, we're going to go ahead and play this in mermaid voices, and we'll get Tuttles to explain what's happening for us. Let's listen to the voices in the sea, says the mermaids.
Well, Brian realized that we didn't need the tissue to test our theory. We have, NOAA has these arrays that record audio, marine life, seismic activity, and one of these buoys was very close by. So we know it was likely that we had recorded the whole event. The sonar blasts, the whale reactions, everything. Well, first there was the sound of the whale vocalizations, which we expected. And then there was what we now understand to be the priming of the sonar weapon.
Damn. That's a Kraken like another.
And then there was a moment of silence, and this proved to be the calm before the storm, because then it was bam. It was pretty awful to listen to. Brian was so preoccupied with cataloging this sonic blast that he almost missed what else was there. That NOAA had recorded back in 1997, but in this case, our recording was much longer. It was the most complex, intricate animal call I'd ever heard, and we had no idea what it made the sound. All we knew was that a creature that had only been heard once in human history had just resurfaced.
Okay, so that's a little bone chilling.
That was the sound of 1,000 souls dying, basically, underwater. But anyways, they pulled the bloop, which was something that they hadn't heard since 1997. And they were tying two together that the bloop sound was actually a possible mermaid.
And why do they call it the bloop? That's just because it made a bloop on the screen.
Because the original sound that they had recorded in 1997, it sounded like a bloop, but it was able to be heard for 5,000 miles.
Wow.
Yep. And they had no idea at that time what it was. But then when NOAA put two and two together with all their sounds from when that thing happened in 2002, and they tied it out together with all the whales and stuff that were on the beach in Washington State and things like that. And then they said that they discovered a mermaid.
Which Elgato kindly adds that.
The reason why they were able to dissect that sound was because they have recordings of every type of sea mammal. And that one bloop sound does not match anything in recorded history for underwater noises.
So is it something new or is it something that's just resurfaced?
Well, they hadn't heard it since 1997. That was the first time they heard it since 1997.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, and then apparently there was two kids, teenage boys, who stumbled across the beach before the army had even gotten there for all the whales and stuff and the porpoises and, you know, just everything that was surfaced on the beach there. And they got a video of the mermaid.
And that's when that it washed up shore. I had seen a video recently, actually, of a purple skinned, looked to be female, young mermaid, and it was dying, and looked rather small, but it was very, very real looking. The fins, I was you know, Hollywood is one hell of a production studio, but, or has one. But I have a feeling that there's definitely things down there that we've not discovered. And hybridization is a thing naturally, in a sense. I don't really know how a human and a fish could get it on and produce such a creature. But hey, yeah.
Well, I don't know if that would have been a thing that happened, or if it was just a weird form of the of an evolution or something like that. But they also tie mermaids into teaching the Asian people how to fish by using dolphins over there. Oh. They'll actually summons dolphins. The dolphins will swim around. They'll drop nets. They'll scoop net a ton of fish or whatever, and then the dolphins sit there by the boat, and then the fishermen feed the dolphins right off the boat. They sort of work together. Uh-huh. So they were saying that mermaids were the actual tie together on who taught the Asian dolphins? People how to fish that way with dolphins.
Gotcha.
So
nice.
Lots of neat shit I've come across.
I bet. Well, what do we got up next, Tuttles? Or should we let one of our
We got a crack-a-lack on this thing, and see if we can dissect some mermaid stuff and lores and possible stories, and if anybody's ever seen one. Or
P.T. Barnum had a mermaid. Who's P.T. Barnum?
P.T. Barnum, he was the guy that owned the big circus.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But it was actually found that his mermaid wasn't real.
Oh, the Fiji mermaid.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Pine, what are we thinking about mermaids? Uh-oh, he fell asleep.
No, I didn't fall asleep. I wish I was a mermaid right now, because you know, you can have a child. But yeah, that's why I've been on mute. Sorry, guys. Waiting for the mom to go home.
All good, all good. Well, all right, we also got Chris up here. Chris, you got any stories about mermaids? Don't make me call you Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson! I was going to read here what Richie wrote. He goes,
I was going to too, but go for it.
I thought manatees was the real version of mermaids, as their vaginas look most like humans. Richie, I really don't know how you know that.
Yeah, I don't know what a manatee's vagina looks like either. I don't want to have to Google it, so I will take your word for it.
Yeah, but that was the whole thing. They were saying that the manatees would sit up on the rocks, and the seamen were out at sea for so long that it would almost be like a mirage that these fucking manatees sitting on the rocks would look like girls and stuff, you know? You know, like when you're in the desert and you see water?
Yeah.
So that's one of the stories.
I think Lori's saying get the kids on and ask them about mermaids. Was she talking about your kids, or she was talking about Pine's kid?
I think she's talking about Pine's child.
God.
My kid doesn't have an opinion on the mermaid.
Not yet.
He can say bird and stuff, yeah. It's over his head, so.
Yeah. Get there.
Yeah. I haven't seen a mermaid. The mirage thing makes sense. But I wouldn't the ocean's vast. It's funny how we're trying to explore space, and we hardly scratched 10% of the depths of the sea. So who knows what's down there.
So Elgato, did you hear that they sing well from Little Mermaid, or did you hear that from another source? I'm just curious.
Elgato, instead of having a big girl poster on his wall, he's got a picture of Ariel.
Oh, I bet. All his wife will allow. No, just kidding.
Well, they had the more sinister view of them being the sirens. Is that they're? Have you ever seen Harry Potter, Goblet of Fire, the fourth one?
Absolutely.
You know those beautiful singing mermaids, and they turn into crazy ass demons. I could see that too. Like,
sirens, right? Sorry for the dogs in the background, guys.
They draw you in, right? And then, like, they eat you.
Devour you.
Kind of like Pennywise.
Yeah.
We all float down here.
Yikes. Oh, goodness. Here we go. Okay. How you doing, Elgato?
Hey, no, but if there's mermaids, then there has to be merman. There has to be, right? Otherwise, they just come out of the fucking under a pebble.
We have like
and Aquaman. If there's merman, yeah, they look like Aquaman. And if there's merman and mermaids, there's little mermaid babies.
Well, even Neptune was a merman, wasn't he? He had like a fucking fish tail, didn't he, Neptune?
That's where it gets fishy. No pun intended. No, I don't know. I'd like to believe in mermaids. I like to believe in all that stuff. I mean, we don't know. We don't go to the bottom of the sea.
You believe in mermaids, but you don't believe in our president. That's funny.
If it was a merman, it'd be like the top part would be a fish, and then it'd be a human bottom.
You know what? Actually, we're going to pause the show. I'm going to have Cute Bella play the next song since you brought up that specific topic, if that's okay with Q.
What song is that?
What the mermaid song.
The mermaid song.
Yes.
Let me guess. Under the Sea?
No.
Shoot, you might have...
Oh, well. Anyways,
I'll play it. Just send it to me again. Which one? It's okay. You don't have to be super professional. I only had the Kraken one. That's the only one that I got from you, buddy.
No, you played the other one on our show yesterday when we were just live. Remember, it was that sea shanty song?
Oh.
Under the Sea?
No.
Oh, Christ.
That'd be good.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, the mermaid got it.
Just play Under the Sea, for God's sake.
No, yeah, I got it here.
By the Great Big Sea or whatever.
Yes, this one's funny. Sorry, Tuttles, I had it. Just forgot.
Fishing town, the old man said to me, you can spend your life, your jolly life, just sailing on the sea. You can search the world for pretty girls till your eyes are weak and dim, but don't go searching for a mermaid, son, if you don't know how to swim. Cause her hair was green as seaweed, her skin was blue and pale, her face it was a work of art. I love that girl with all my heart, but I only like the upper part. I did not like. I signed unto a sailing ship my very first day at sea. I seen the mermaid and the waves are reaching out to me. Come and live with me in the sea, said she, down on the ocean floor, and I'll show you a million wondrous things you've never seen before. So over I jumped and she pulled me down to her seaweed bed, and a pillow made of a tortoise shell she placed beneath my head. She fed me shrimp and caviar upon the silver dish. From her head to her waist, it was just my taste, but the rest of her was a fish. Cause her hair was green as seaweed, her skin was blue and pale, her face, it was a work of art. I love that girl with all my heart. I only like the upper part. I did not like the tail.
That's like coming about.
So I sang to the clams and the whales. Oh, how I miss her seaweed hair and the silver shine of her scales. But then her sister, she swam by, set my heart a whirl. Cause her upper part was an ugly fish, but her bottom part was a girl. Yes, her hair was green as seaweed, her skin was blue and pale. Her legs, they are a work of art. My tail. Come here, man. Show me your fins. There, fishy, fishy, fishy. Come here, man. Come here, man. Show me a fin.
See, that song explained the anatomy, that some of them got an upper part and some of them got a bottom part.
What's up, JJ?
Jiu-jitsu in the home.
Yes, I'm playing music for redheads. Gingers alike, of course.
No, this morning I was actually playing a ginger song for caps and stuff on the show.
Oh, thanks for the clap, Big Chief. Appreciate it. Welcome, Raccoon 6. If I missed anybody else, sorry about that. But yeah, that was great. I love Welcome Badir. I love how
Okay. Let me ask seriously, and I'm not being funny.
I'm sure you
the
are.
The Tales of
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not, I swear to God. The Tales of the Mermaid, them growing legs. It has to come from somewhere. Tunnels. Have you ever heard of that? Like, is that a real thing?
You're talking about
Little Mermaid. Out of the ocean?
Little Mermaid again.
No! Yeah, no!
It's been copied, but Little Mermaid is okay.
Well, what about the one with Tom Hanks? Splash. That one too.
That's literally our background, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't remember the story on how she grew legs or how she got legs. It was like...
It was Ursula.
No, not with Splash.
No, with Little Mermaid.
She came out of the water, but as she dried out, it turned into legs. But then when she went in the bathtub at home, it turned back into a tail. So she had to keep them locked out of the bathroom until she dried off, and then it turned back into legs.
Okay. Oh, so she's got way better like deal than
But see, I don't know if you guys actually remember that movie. She actually met Tom Hanks when he was a kid, and she was a young mermaid because he was on the ferry ship and he fell off.
She saved him, yeah.
And she saved his life because he was drowning at the bottom of the ocean, and she breathed air into his lungs. And he spent his whole life thinking he was crazy because he thought he'd seen a mermaid. And then somehow they hooked up like later on in life, and he realized that he wasn't crazy because she really was a fucking mermaid.
Right.
But as we know, a lot of movies are based on true stories.
And they gotta get it from somewhere. Yeah.
And that was before Little Mermaid, but that's what I'm asking. Is that a real myth?
Was it?
I don't know.
Little Mermaid's probably like 1970.
A real, like real or myth? Because, I mean...
Yeah, now we're talking about myths about myths.
Yeah.
Type 1 in the chat if you guys think that mermaids could be real.
They're definitely real.
What do you think about them, Chris, like in terms of if they are real, like how significant are they? Are they just like other fish-like creatures, or could they like just come out and walk as they please?
No, I think what happened is about, ballpark, I don't know, 4.5 million years ago, something like that, 5.5, there was a derivation of the humanoids, and basically as the water level rose, they had to learn to adapt. And basically mermaids, I have photographs of from mermaid skeletons, as well as I think I still have the video of one that of a live one, and also ones that are they found deceased along the shorelines. But there's numerous skeletons that have been found. And then there was a video that was done probably 2014 where they went with a, like Autech, which is off of, the Bahamas, which is where they keep one mermaid inside of a tank. And, they showed one in the North Atlantic, of the North Sea where they did, pitch sounds to coax any mermaids, and that one actually came up to the glass and they photographed it. So I have no question. Plus, with all the skeletons I've found, they're definitely real. But I think there's at least 3 to 4
you
different
found? You have found them personally?
No, not I have not seen them personally. I'm a research analyst, and the point is I have found skeletons over the decades.
Okay.
And they're real.
Can I run a question past you, Chris?
Always.
Have you seen any of the underwater spears that the fishermen have actually come across? They'll go out tuna fishing and they'll find a spear that was made out of like a tail of something, and it had a handle fastened to it, and there's no way that like a human could have dove so deep to stab it into this tuna. But they're pulling up these spears that are stuck in sides of fish just randomly out.
Hey,
in the middle of the
story.
Ocean.
You're welcome.
Yes, that was there was one expose that was in South Africa, Union of South Africa, where they actually found exactly what you're describing, where they found examples of spears that were obviously humanoid made, but they were of, you know, used by mermaids for essentially fishing and survival. So I have no question regarding your answer. Yes, I have seen that, and they did find one. They brought and dissected it at the I believe it was Cape Town or Johannesburg, South Africa, and that was a video as well. But it's they're real, they're genuine. I just think there's been various deviations over the millennia to hundreds of thousands of years, possibly even millions, of how they evolved separately. Over.
Now, do you think if their evolution, they would be different over there versus the ones that would be near North America?
Well, by the ones that I saw in the North Sea, or the one I saw in the North Sea on that video from about 2013 to 2014, there's different variations, but yes, that they have webbed fingers, and this was somewhere around 2,000 feet down below in a diver's tank that was near a North Sea oil rig. So I think there's been, as mentioned, various derivations of the species itself around the world. So basically, what we have off of North America versus what's off of Europe, the North Sea along the Western European coastline to South Africa to even Australia. I believe that there's variations of the species that have evolved over time. That's my belief from what I've viewed and documented with photographs of various types of mermaids. Over.
Okay. Yeah. Well, just like the fish in the sea, there's like thousands of different versions. There's got to be different versions of that too. Is
fishes sort
of made sense to me? But
well, the Japanese found, the Japanese found an 80-foot squid, what you would call the kraken, and they captured one, and that was.
Get into that topic in a minute.
Well, I was just mentioning. So there's the entire ocean, you know, our world is 72% ocean and 28% continent or land. And we've only really explored less than 10% of the entire ocean. Over.
Yeah, I would say. It wouldn't be illogical to suggest.
I thought it was like 4%.
Okay, 4%. Well, I knew it was somewhere around 5, but anyway.
Yeah.
In that range. And there's so much to discover, and we know more about, in essence, the moon and our atmosphere than we do know about the oceans that surround us. Over.
I was going to say, it wouldn't be like illogical to suggest.
Are you saying over, like you're talking on a walkie-talkie?
No, it's just a military guy. Bad habit. It's basically
He's finished talking, so someone else.
When I'm finished talking, I say over, and it's just a bad habit. But it's it was used for 12 years, and it's hard to break. But it lets the public or the audience, rather not audience, but the panel know that I'm finished talking. That's why I say it.
It's hard to say it.
Yeah, but now we're waiting for you to say over.
Yeah,
we're
waiting for you to say it
now. Over now.
I was going to say, when Chris was talking about, possibly millions, it wouldn't be illogical to suggest that, some sort of a humanoid species evolved in the sea, not as mammals. Because our world was at one point almost entirely water. So, and then when the first, whatever you call it, tadpole, came out of the water, there's obviously evolution that happened in the water as well. And,
if you watch a tadpole turn into a frog, boom, there you go, man. That's just fucking, it shows you right there.
Isn't that the theory that we came from the ocean and then, like, with gravity, we got out of the ocean, we crawled onto the beach?
Gravity didn't have anything to do with us getting out of ocean, you weirdo.
Well,
the ocean's subsiding and releasing land, like, letting land come to the surface is what brought life to the land. I don't
know. You know what I mean? That we came from the ocean originally. That's where everything came from, life. And
yeah, I think it was actually the chemical like formulation of the ocean was like eventually like we evolved to try to
like you're saying, what if like we evolved in the ocean as well, but we didn't come out?
Ah. Yeah, exactly. That'd be like the species of, you know, like there's obviously the fish and stuff, so like they never came out, but so like there could have been, you know, something that formed intelligently. Like octopuses are extremely intelligent, like ridiculously intelligent. They don't look like us, and they don't look like mermaids, but they're in the sea. They never came out. I think they came from an asteroid, to be honest. But
an octopus's eyeballs—they look human-like, man. It's creepy.
Yeah, but an octopus's eyeballs, the large ones, like the size of a dinner plate.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're insane. Like, 8 tentacles, like, each one of them, they have their own, like, cerebral, like, center. So if you cut off a tentacle, like, that tentacle that has been severed can, think.
Welcome, Richardson.
Which is nuts.
Jeez. Wow, so Chris Wilson believes in mermaids. I would have never guessed that.
Well, when you see the photographs I have, you will. By the way, Bella, I have tried to send you emails, but I mentioned it before. For some reason, they're getting rejected.
Oh, did you crap.
Did you change your email? Because
no,
everybody else, like Woody Bush and Pine, they can get mine. But I don't. Only about 2 went through. I wrote down exactly what you gave me, but I'm just wondering, do you have an alternate email that I could use to send you this information?
So you sent it to qbellak8@gmail.com?
Yes.
Wow, let me check my spam folder.
Because they're getting rejected. They're not going to spam. They're actually getting rejected.
Oh, I see. Weird. I do have another one. It's
Let me get a pen. Hold on. Because I wanted to send you so many. Jester gets it. Quite if Woody Bush gets it, there's probably about 15 people that are getting this, but I can't send it. Go ahead.
It's Digital Princess.
Wow, wait a minute. I got Digital Princess, P-R-I-N-C-E.
6969.
No, 777.
777.
@gmail.com.
Okay, good. It's a Gmail account, not Yahoo.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Digital Princess, no special characters, just all run together.
Correct.
DigitalPrincess777@gmail.com.
Yes.
Okay, good. I'll use that instead. I'll change yours.
Okay.
Because I honestly believe you like a lot of the material I've seen. Has gotten a fair amount in the past.
We got Woody Bush on the panel, but he hasn't really chimed in yet. My friend, you got anything from out west Canada there, boy?
Shoot, he fell off of mine, so did Elgato. Or Elgato's call ended, actually. Looks like. But yeah, Woody, if you're with us, got anything on mermaids, my friend?
Who were you speaking with?
I'm trying to speak with Woody Bush. But,
Woody Bush?
He's not on the panel.
Yeah, he's not on the panel. I don't think so, Tuttles. I think he left.
No, he was. He just fell off it.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking and... Only
no, he just.
Well. Oh, now he's out. Like, he knows about mermaids, obviously.
Yeah. And now he's
back.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I know mermaids. I'm just checking out my ghost friends right now.
Oh, okay. You got some orbs floating around. What's up, Frankie D?
You should diversify, Woody.
Well, I mean, I gotta have a station.
I'm checking out
to
see.
You should
get out of that elevation,
job,
buddy.
Talk to me. Fucking D-Gen.
I would be a cool mermaid. Thank you, Lou.
Well, the documentary that I watched that was a little 3-minute snippet from was about 2 hours long, put on by a former employee of the NOAA, and he said he was just tired of keeping quiet on everything, so he tried to, you know, make a documentary on it and show as much information and share as much as he could. And that was actually the actual NOAA sounds and stuff like that. But we can move on along now into the Leviathan. I don't have a catchy tune for that one, though. I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, no, I didn't. There's not really many tunes, I would say. Just find a couple different videos. Nothing that I thought was too interesting to share with the group. And they're all kind of long, like 7 or 9 minutes. So I will kind of think I'm going to go ahead and pass on that one. Although there is one that's 2 minutes and 35 seconds. It says it's Leviathan, the biblical monster mythology, or mythological monster. Kind of not the best idea to do while I'm live, but I'm going to go ahead and trust YouTube. We'll go ahead and give this a listen and see if it's a good, setting for us to bring in the topic for those that are not familiar with the Leviathan.
Okay.
Bear with me just a second as we make it through these ads. I had heard of the Leviathan, but I wasn't really familiar biblically, so I was pretty surprised to see that it was gonna work. All right, I've got it queued up. Sorry, I was just trying to create some or lessen the voided space. So here we go.
According to the Old Testament, there is a giant creature in the ocean's depths. His name is Leviathan. According to the sacred text of Jews and Christians, like all creatures that walk on land, fly in the air, and swim in the waters, Leviathan was also one of God's creations. This creature is described in the book of Job, where God himself describes this colossal monster. The beast resembles a huge marine dragon. Men would be consumed by fear whenever they spotted him. No man is brave enough to dare to awaken such a creature, since the idea of defeating it would be nothing but an illusion. God himself describes the mighty Leviathan as a colossal creature, the bearer of incredible power. The huge monster creates massive waves when moving. His powerful mouth has dreadful teeth. His back is protected by rows of shields so close together that not even air can pass between them. Leviathan has a powerful blow that throws flashes of light. There's fire in his mouth and smoke in his nostrils. When this beast rises, even the most powerful run away terrified, because swords, spears, and arrows can do nothing against a creature who has his chest as hard as the most resistant stone. Nothing on earth can compare to Leviathan's power. But such a creature owes its existence to God's desire, since, like every human being, Leviathan can only have their food due to the grace of God. The beast was the inspiration for the English philosopher Thomas Hobbes in his work Leviathan. According to Hobbes, the man in his natural state, where there are no laws, tends to unleash an all-against-all quarrel. To eliminate this state of anarchy, there has to be a social pact where everyone relinquishes part of their sovereignty in the name of a figure who has absolute power. This figure that would have authority over men would be the state, which, due to its power before men, Hobbes compares with a gigantic biblical monster known as Leviathan.
There we go.
Okay,
before we crack a lack into everybody's theories, do you want to have mine just brief quick?
Please.
Of course.
I think the Leviathan is the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
I'll mute now.
Welcome, Solar Flare. No, that's an idea, for sure. That's definitely an idea. And I don't know if the Loch Ness is... Is that considered
mythical? It's a tiny little lake.
Is it considered mythical? I mean, I know it's... Or is it more conspiratorial?
It's hard to say, but it's been around legend. For a long time. It's legend, mythology, it's been talking about it, and then you have the Loch Ness Monster's lesser-known sister called Lizzie in Loch Nee, but hardly anybody knows about that one. But
I didn't know about that one either.
Yeah,
it's tied to St. Patrick, the Loch Ness Monster.
Well, you have Champion Lake Champlain, where my father lives, and my brother.
Mm-hmm. And we have one in the Welland Canal, too, apparently. But anyways, I still think Loch Ness Monster is a Leviathan.
That's conceivable. That wasn't my conjecture.
I think Leviathan's like the size of Loch Ness, the lake.
No, Loch Ness is 23 miles long and 812 feet deep in its deepest point.
That'd be huge. That'd be a huge serpent. Could definitely fit in the ocean, though.
Yeah.
Lake Champlain is probably 10 miles long and various depths throughout.
Jiu-Jitsu has a question for you, Tuttles. He said, why would a mythological creature from the Middle East be chilling up in the freezing of Scotland?
Underground tunnels.
Chris would have an answer for that.
And that's why they only see it certain times, because of migration for whatever reasons. Chasing food.
I believe over time those channels actually got sealed off and they got locked in and they've just survived. And so they just exist in the Loch Ness itself. But it's obviously real. It's genuine. But it's there's only been a slight over.
Sorry, I got an ice maker.
But I think the underwater channels actually over time through metamorphosis that actually just sealed up. And so they cannot escape back out as they used to have before.
Oh, hi, cool. Welcome, you guys.
Oh, okay. See, Bella, I also have videos since are you going to be doing this on a regular basis?
We do shows every Thursday. We have different topics depending on what strikes the mood. But yeah, Tuttles and I go live at 10:30 p.m. Eastern every Thursday.
Okay, the reason I ask is because I have videos of dragons, real, genuine dragons, over the Great Britain and also over Laotian Chinese border. And they're genuine. They're filmed. I'm sorry?
You said alive?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Dragons were hunted to extinction or near extinction in the 12 to 1300s. And from my research over the decades, basically the Tibetan Buddhist monks are the guardians of the flying dragons. I found four types, and I can get you photographs of those. There's three that are winged and one is wingless.
Wow. We will save that for flying mythical creature episode.
Wow.
Well, no, I'm just mentioning I've got dozens and dozens. I mean, Pine knows what I've collected. You've got a sample of it. And I also have, if you'd like to see, I don't know if you've been to the British Isles or Ireland, but I'm just mentioning. I have a video where a husband and wife were walking on the Giant's Highway, and they filmed a giant door closing on this road that lends directly into the side of the cliff, and it's a perfect hermetically sealed door, and they have it filmed closing, and obviously a giant had just walked into it, and it closed the door, and you can see the video; it's real.
Wow!
And that's why it's called the Giant's Highway in Ireland. The actual road itself. It's only a 2-minute clip, but it's worth watching.
Oh, we'll have to get into that on another episode, definitely.
I mean, I've got plenty to entertain you for a long time.
Oh, yeah. No, if I don't doubt you there. I've heard you've got essays upon essays upon essays of different things, so.
But I've collected videos and photos as well, so that the audience can see it on what I do on our show with very quickly with Big Chief and Raccoon. he's able to take snapshots of the photos I have and show them as I brief during the sessions, like now. Mm-hmm. And that way the audience can actually view, because they have better phones than I have, and they can view the photos that I've got. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention it. Over.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Chris. Okay, Tuttles. Bring us back on course with we're headed over to Kraken, or are we not there yet?
No, we're still working on your Leviathan, I think, and
okay.
Waiting to see if Pine's gonna pull out some biblical stuff for the Leviathan if his his offspring is a little bit more happy at the moment.
He's taken care of.
All right.
He won't be bothering us anymore, okay?
I got seven kids.
Stop it, Pine. Come on.
Beautiful kid. I love him when there's two people watching.
Mine's and they're old as heck, so I'm just kidding. Anyways, go for it, Pine. Let's see what you got.
Well, Leviathan is known as one of the seven princes of hell. Seven princes of hell are believed to be formed after the seven deadly sins. And do you want me to name them off?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I might as well name them off. So obviously, and this also can tie into, which is not biblical per se, but I find very significant. It's actually a poem called Paradise Lost that was written about essentially the mutiny in heaven that caused the fall of the angels, which would, tie into the pseudo-biblical cross-historical belief of fallen angels being the Nephilim, or the offspring of fallen angels being the Nephilim. And this was what happened in heaven, when Lucifer got a group of guys or a group of angels to band up against God because God had an authoritarian control over heaven and had Adam and Eve down there and just had full. Hold on one sec. God damn it. One sec. Okay. And Lucifer, in this case, I'm going off of also an understanding that I gained after being exposed to a series of literature that is extremely controversial, and I'm not saying I support it, but it was extremely convincing at the same time. And it was actually, I wish I'd be able to reference it. It was some of the pro, Lucifer type stance, the writing, and saying that, all Lucifer wanted was for men to be, like gods, they wanted men to be have the power of the angels and the gods, and God didn't want that, and so Lucifer mutinied with his princes of hell, and they got banished to Earth forever. And Lucifer signifies pride, obviously, and he was also one of the God's right hand angels, at that time, according to Paradise Lost. And then there's Mammon, which is symbolizes greed, Asmodeus, which symbolizes lust, Leviathan, which symbolizes envy, Beelzebub, which symbolizes gluttony, Satan, which symbolizes wrath, which obviously will lead to some confusion, considering most people probably think that Satan and Lucifer are synonymous. And then Beelzebub, which symbolizes sloth, and those are the seven deadly sins. Leviathan being a sea creature, just talked about, they all went to their own parts of the world. And Leviathan was, not damned to the sea, just ended up there really from what I've been able to collect. And, other than that, a part being connected to the Bible, pretty much the mythical description of Leviathan is correct. In terms of what it looks like, the size and everything like that. But it'd just be one. It wouldn't be a species of them, right? And it'd be evil, super.
And it was said to be a creature that only God Himself could destroy, and that He created it as something to play with, because God knew how to handle evil. I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like thinking about the scope of there's a cool picture. You can try to pull it up, Q. This isn't like this is above water, so it doesn't tie into the mythical creatures, but it's really, really it's a brilliant picture. Just if you type in Paradise Lost, Lucifer, snake, probably that'll pull it up, and it's like a black and white picture of this angel who now has horns, but he still has his wings, sitting on a rock, and he's staring at the ground, and there's a serpent on the ground like a snake, and that's like one of the arts. It's one of the art included in Paradise Lost.
You send it on Discord and I'll post it in
there. Okay, I'll pull it up. But yeah, the amount of like symbolism involved in that picture is just like it's overwhelming. Like how much symbolism is in like one picture? Because like it would tie in to the Garden of Eden and like that being the snake and Lucifer obviously like he like looks at oh, fuck it, I'll just send it to you. I'm not gonna explain it. Yeah, one sec. Someone else take over.
Good. You're good. You're good. There was also one, not to move on too forward, but there's one mythical monster or sea creature who keeps coming to my head, and I forget what she's called, but she used to be, excuse me, I cannot be yawning. This is not good. She used to be a beautiful woman. And she was cursed by poison. There was a jealous woman who poisoned the lake that she would, or the pond that she would go to. And through this poisoning, she became this crazy looking monster who had six wolves coming from her abdomen and a long crazy tail. The top of her, she was human, but, Pine, are you ready yet? And I was just trying to fill some space there, buddy.
Yeah, sorry. No worries. Yeah,
that would probably have been Ursula.
Yeah, that's it was jujitsu called the artist of that picture I was describing, which like that's pretty that's impressive.
JJ is one of the smartest people on Podbean. He just doesn't like to share sometimes.
Like that went even deeper, like deeper than the artists of like Paradise Lost. He just goes right into like literally the person drawing the picture. Yeah, I'm sending it to you right now.
All right. So. Oh, that's crazy. Okay, I did come across that picture.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Okay.
Yeah, it's and it says, what does it say? I can say it once you post it. Him fast sleeping, whom he found in labyrinth of many around self something.
Self-rolled? I can't read what it says either.
Yeah, it's a little unclear. Right, I was zoom in there. Self-rolled, yeah.
Look at the feet.
Labyrinth of many.
Look at the feet on the winged devil person. Like hooves.
Yeah, it's like I guess slowly converting. Those definitely don't look like angelic wings either.
No.
They look like a bat or a bit.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, nuts. One of the craziest. One of the greatest like things I've ever seen. Like drawings.
Vampires would be a good talking point, Lori. We might be able to sneak that in there sometime soon. I think we're going to do dream interpretations for our next show topic, if that sounds about
right. Yeah, that's what we were talking about that one. But, you know, we're actually getting inundated with people with their show requests, which I'm kind of happy about because it actually just shows that people are interested in, you know, having discussions over this stuff, so... So yeah, but we're thinking the dreaming type stuff, which is kind of funny because Matty McMatface, or whatever his name is,
yes.
He actually did a show on dreams yesterday, and I was like, dude, that's weird because we were just talking about doing one on Talk Hard next
week. And that keeps like, happening. Really? Every time we have a topic, there's something else that's like coming up about the same thing. It's like, geez, we're trying to be original here.
Yeah, like we did that biblical show, and then all of a sudden, friggin'. Jester's saying that he has a preacher man coming on to his show to do a biblical show on his next episode. It's like, what the hell, man?
Man. Yep.
Divine intervention, yes, Shep.
Yeah, yeah, no. Usually bring it up to take a step further and talk about I was just saying this earlier today because like the connection of birth, death, and dreams, like them together. Because like think of how crazy it is. You go to sleep, and like you know you're going to sleep, and then you know it could be like 20 minutes later you're in a dream and you actually have you completely forget the fact where you are and what you're doing. And then, because you're sleeping in a dream, and it's like, how you not remember that? Like, your memories are still there in your brain. It's so crazy.
When we do the dream one, you're gonna hear some really crazy shit, and my wife will contest to every single thing I say because she lives through my dreams. Like, she hears me talking, and I explain to her everything that happens. That's pretty crazy shit. But that's another show for another day.
Yeah. Jeez.
So we've doing mermaids.
Talk about Cthulhu.
Leviathan.
Cthulhu?
Yeah. H.P. Lovecraft.
I read his work.
Or Godzilla, I guess, but
Well, we were gonna talk about the Kraken at some point too, right?
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
I think that's what the thing was, but it don't matter. Cthulhu, if you know a lot about that, man, spit some knowledge. You know, we're open to anything here.
Or I can go find another video real quick.
I respect H.P. Lovecraft, but I'll admit, like, I never, I didn't spend, like, hardly any time reading him. Like, it's one of those things, you know, like the guys who, like, George R.R. Martin, love Game of Thrones, but, like, there's no way I'm reading the books, like, you know, we only have so much time on this world. And those guys wrote a lot of stuff. So, yeah, but Cthulhu it's crazy shit.
That's the name that I hadn't come across until today, to be honest. I thought it was one of the characters from the Ghostbusters. But if you start diving into the Ghostbusters, a lot of that that was Thulu or whatever. I just got confused for a minute.
Oh, yeah, it's like, okay, I'll just, like, brief them. I'll brief it because, like, some of the things this thing can do. I'll brief it. So Cthulhu is...
Who H.P. Lovecraft was?
Oh, sure.
People don't know who he is. One of the best writers of all time who sees the other dimension from his third eye.
Yeah, he was, an incredible poet, short story writer, like novelist. He wrote a lot of horror fiction, like science fiction, and created a lot of like characters like that. Cthulhu mythos is like big, and then he has like plenty of other characters. Like I don't even know how many books he's written. It's a lot though. It's like close to L. Ron Hubbard, like the founder of Scientology. He's written more books than anyone I think alive or dead, like anyone ever. I think H.P. Lovecraft is close. But yeah, so Cthulhu is, he's a part of this race called the Great Old Ones, which is like a race of aliens. He's the high priest and he hides like, in the ocean. And in HP's, short story called The Call of Cthulhu, he's like awoken and he's like a green octopus dragon. And a caricature in human form. So, like, you can, like, he's, like, massive, like, absolutely huge, but, like, he can also, like, transform into a human form. And he liked to prey on children, I believe. Like, he liked to just eat them. So he had a monster vaguely anthropoid outline with octopus-like head. His face was a mess of feelers, a scaly, rubbery-looking body, prodigious claws on hind and forefeet, and long, narrow wings behind him. So it kind of sounds like one of those angels, honestly, which is way bigger. He's super evil. He could, like, he's had, like, telepathy and could take over the minds of people and kids. And then pretty much tried to, like, I don't know, there's plenty of stories about him. Like, there's even, I think, a story of, like, him fighting Godzilla. But I think he would be, I don't know, I haven't read the story, but I think he'd just wreck Godzilla. Yeah, just trying to, all this stuff is about H.P. Lovecraft. I'm trying to find the actual
He put out 66 fictional books, but he's also had hundreds of other stuff and short stories and collaborations with other people as well, but his actual number for published fiction books is 66.
Fuck, that's crazy. It's a lot.
Yeah. I know, right? See, that's the thing. A lot of, like, crap that people talk about these days about mysteries and, like, weird animals and things that happen, like, all these ideas actually all come from that dude. Like, he's the father of most modern stuff that people like us actually talk about without us even realizing it.
I just,
yeah, and even like, yeah, like legends after him, right?
Yeah, like, I wish Big Sal was on the show because he's actually an expert on H.P. Lovecraft as well.
He's
a Dungeons and Dragons nerd.
I found a rather cool video just now, actually, in regards to H.P. Lovecraft and who are the ancestors of Cthulhu. It's about 10 minutes long. We don't have to play the whole thing, but I know Pine, you were kind of going into it a little bit. Should we play that?
It was hard to find characteristics of Cthulhu, not just H.P. Lovecraft. Yeah, you can play that. I just wanted to, just for comparison, I had to look it up after Tuttle said that H.P.'s published thing. Like, Ron Hubbard's published 1,084 fiction and nonfiction works. He's the most published of all time. Like, that's absolutely crazy. And then, you know, like, let's believe that whatever this guy's saying is real, right? And all of it's, yeah, most of
how many of his published works were on Scientology, though?
Yeah, probably quite a bit.
Yeah.
Too many.
All right.
Yep, give it a shot, and we'll see what happens.
All right, here we go.
Outside the ordered universe, that amorphous blight of nethermost confusion which blasphemes and bubbles at the center of all infinity, the boundless demon Sultan Azathoth, whose name no lips dare speak aloud, and who gnaws hungrily in inconceivable, unlighted chambers beyond time and space, amidst the muffled, maddening beating of vile drums and the thin, monotonous whine of accursed flutes.
Such were the words of H.P. Lovecraft from the Dream Quest of Unknown Gallant.
All right, in case you guys were wondering what the heck he just said, I took a little screenshot and you can gander at that because it was a bit of a thick accent there. Continuing.
If you're wondering what the hell I'm talking about, then let me enlighten you with the original monsters of fiction, the demons and deities of H.P. Lovecraft's works. There are two main classes, which are the outer gods, who are variously cosmically significant entities that are featured in the Cthulhu mythos. They are to be distinguished from the great old ones, which are lesser gods, although the distinction isn't universally acknowledged. If you're interested to know more about these fictional monsters and demons, then stay tuned, because we are going to showcase to you the lineage and ancestors that bring us the most famous of them all, which is Cthulhu. We shall start right from his earliest ancestor, go down the family tree until we hit Cthulhu himself.
Does that sound like something we want to get into, guys?
I mean, like, Tuttles, what do you think? Like, what's the Kraken has been talked about? Like, I think the Kraken would have definitely more connection to, like, a, you know, like, the non-fantasy world.
I don't know, it's hard to say.
Your ship's missing and stuff, like.
Because the Kraken was sort of, upon research, sometimes you sort of myth bust some of your own myths, and I guess that's all part of it, but. It turned out later on in the years, a lot of people were blaming the Kraken to try to do insurance scams. They would take, like, a ship full of alcohol. They would take it and land it somewhere else. They would report back that the ship was sunken by the Kraken, and they would get insurance for it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it's hard to say. You know,
I mean, we could talk about
giant squids and there's giant octopuses and stuff like that, but for the actual Kraken thing, I almost, from my research, sort of almost busted my own myth that I was hoping to cover today because it made sense, right?
Well, shit.
We could talk about Atlantis or like Bermuda Triangle. Like, that I wouldn't know what creatures would be in the Bermuda Triangle, but Atlantis is, I'd say, pretty significant.
I don't know if it's creatures. I don't know if it's creatures in the Bermuda Triangle or if there's some type of crazy energy there.
Magnetism kind of thing going on there and stuff. I think Chris Wilson might have a little bit of info on that topic.
I'm willing All to right. go into that. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, my perception from my research is that there are two major movable vortexes. One is called the Bermuda Triangle, and the other one is the Devil's Triangle, which is off of Okinawa, Japan, and another third point. And that these are actually non-fixable floating vortexes where they actually shift. They're not permanently fixed in any location. And that's why the area is so large where ships and planes disappear. And so I would call – my concept is that they are an actual – they are a vortex whereby time-space does not exist. However, they are not permanently fixed and they shift. And that's why over the thousands of years, so many, and even hundreds of years, that so many vessels and aircraft have disappeared without a trace. So that's my perception. Yeah, they are real.
There's been over 50 ships, 20 airplanes that are on record to have disappeared within the same area.
Wow.
Yeah, like no one, like most of these occurrences, like that, they not universally agreed upon, like what happened. And they kind of like the region they formed, you know, it was all within this like triangular shaped point, which was east of Florida, north of Bermuda, or sorry, west of Bermuda and north of the Antilles.
Well, there's also speculation that there's another one off of Newfoundland as well, too. I can't remember what the name of it was, but I was cracking into that one time a little while back. But there's actually one off of Canada as well.
Interesting.
Titanic is?
The one
In
I know.
In that general area, yes, but I don't think it had anything to do with the Titanic, and I wouldn't tie the two things together or anything like that. But there's this one area off of Newfoundland where a lot of bad shit's happened.
The one I'm thinking of, Tuttles, is in Alaska to Canada, where it goes between like Mount Whitney to like Vancouver, and it's a triangle, and it's got planes and people have disappeared, but it is a third triangle, and there was an Army warrant officer that did a report on it that expounded upon it, and it got involved with the CIA as far as the actual when he did research in basically Fort Belvoir, Maryland, Virginia rather. Anyway, I'm not familiar with the one that you mentioned, but only of the one that has an incredible power source in Alaska that could literally power all of Canada independently. Excuse me.
Over.
Welcome to Gray Area.
Over. I found this some cool. A popular theory regarding the Bermuda Triangle is that the vessels, at least, like obviously planes, would be a different theory, but they were taken by what's known as rogue waves, massive waves that can reach up to heights of 100 feet and could theoretically be powerful enough to destroy all evidence of a ship or airplane that's already been downed. That's already been down, like, in that area. Like, storms in multiple directions, like, converging together, which would, like, obviously, like, create, like, could easily create a tsunami, like, a tsunami in the middle of the ocean.
Then you also...
Or it's just a crack and moving, and then...
Yeah. Which is in the North Atlantic, off of Portugal, which is a gigantic seaweed bed that entangles ships over the seas.
What was it called?
The Sargasso Sea.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
S-A-R-G-A-S-S-O, Sargasso Sea. The other thing I think is very fascinating that in the Pacific Ocean, there is so much waste that has been dumped off of California that there's actually a almost the size of Texas, a plastic waste dump that's floating in the ocean.
Jesus, the size of Texas. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. It's like an island.
Yeah, plastic. And this high school student invented this machine that goes off the back of a boat, and it actually pulls all the plastics to be able to take it back out of the water to recycle it.
Heard about that kid.
Welcome, GP. I got experience
about it. Hey, Pine, you're Canadian. You're in Ontario. Have you ever heard of the Marysburg Vortex in Lake Ontario, just south of Belleville?
Hey, bud. No, I haven't.
No, look it up. It's our own Canadian version of the Bermuda Triangle in Ontario. Airplanes go down there, boats sink there, just random weird shit, and people see apparitions in that area as well.
Welcome, Mr. Be Great.
What is it called? Marysburg?
The Marysburg Vortex. Hey, Mr. Be Great. Times.
Speaking of vortexes, there is a monster. Let's see if I can remember which one. I took a screenshot of it. I can't say this name properly, but Charybdis, I think it's creates like these huge whirlwinds, whirlpools and sucks ships in and stuff, supposedly. I'm wondering if that is maybe what's in the Bermuda Triangle.
You never know. Mm-hmm. Right? But that doesn't explain the planes too much unless it can get a vortex like right out of the water out into the sky and stuff too. But
who knows?
Yeah, there's
know any statistics on how many planes and ships have gone down in like the Bermuda Triangle or anything?
Yeah, it says about fifty vessels and 20 planes.
50 vessels, 20 planes?
In one area.
That had been recorded, we started recording, on the ships going down. Think about how much gold and shit's down there.
I was a kid. I'm older than most y'all up there. And what's that? David Copperfield, he actually did a special episode at the Bermuda Triangle one time. There was this ship that had been missing for 50 years, and somehow he brought it back at the Bermuda Triangle.
Thanks. I'll have a good one.
I've also heard of this. This is them going a little deeper into the rabbit hole, but the seabed in the Bermuda Triangle. And I think this is actually, you know what? This might not even be that down the rabbit hole. They found structures, stair steps and stuff on the seabed in that area. I'm going to look it up.
Stair steps, huh?
That could, Atlantis, ?
Possible. I don't know if that fits the correct location, but I like how you said ? Yes, Atlantis. Again, that's probably another show topic, but
yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing, you know, it is extremely intriguing in itself. I was on a podcast a while ago with a guy who's Greek, and he was going on about the lost city of Atlantis and his theories on where it really was.
Where were they?
I honestly can't remember. I'd have to go back and re-listen.
He was another one this one's actually in the Arctic. They did acoustic mapping in the Arctic Ocean, and they found what seemed like shaped like a massive staircases. Yeah, who knows? Chris, weren't you just talking about something like that the other day, yesterday? Ship or something.
Oh, that was I did that show, the other day. And, basically they found in Greenland in 1947 when a 32 Dominator, was, hit, went into a force field over Greenland, and it knocked the power out, and the plane crashed. And when they went to Air Force went to investigate it, they realized that there was a force field of 200 miles. And so what they did is, from Thule Air Force Base, they took snowcats and went into the center of Greenland, and basically they discovered that there's a 180-mile, almost 200-mile-long ship, base ship, and it's 20 miles deep and 30 miles width, and that it's directly in line with the Easter Islands Demoai, M-O-A-I. And these, they didn't find until recently, within the last 20 years, that the Moai on Easter Island are actually an entire body of 65 to 85 foot creatures out of stone, and they are exactly, they are the representation of this race that left the gigantic base ship in Greenland. And now that the ice is melting, it's now visible, and I showed pictures on it with Big Chief and Raccoon, so that he was able to just let the public see the snapshots of the craft. It is literally gigantic. And what they figured out, it was that it basically it controls the weather for the past 50 to 55,000 years.
Jesus.
So the global weather's controlled by this thing, you're thinking?
Yes, that's correct.
So it's not the heart?
No, the ship itself is a weather machine. It controls the weather.
Mm-hmm. And sending you pics, Billy.
Say again, Pine.
I was just sending pics to you. I queued to post.
Okay. Anyway, that was discovered, and it was written by Dr. David Wynn Miller, who is a federal judge, and he basically had a strange situation whereby. When he was in high school, he was working as a security guard at like a department store, and he caught some guys stealing. And what happened was, after work, the gang attacked him and beat him up so bad they destroyed one of his livers, and he had to go in for an operation. He was pronounced dead, and because of this traumatic incident, he doesn't age as we do. He ages maybe 2 years for every 20 years.
Wow.
And so he also, through this bizarre situation, he has an IQ of 200, and he can never sleep. So what he did for the last 20-plus years, he studied and got multiple doctorates and master's degrees in everything from law to meteorology, chemistry, biology, and astrology, astronomy. And he's one of the most educated people, and this is his version that he put out on the internet. I found that probably about 10 years ago, and I saved it. But my documentation goes back 30 years. Anyway, Bella, I have other stuff I think you'd enjoy, which will help your shows with Tuttle. Although I don't have Tuttle's email yet.
I can definitely share it with him. Absolutely.
That's fine. But I even have stuff from World War II. Where a British pilot was filming in the fog over northern Norway, and he's got a photograph of a 50-foot troll. When you see this, you'll be stunned.
A treasure troll?
A troll. What we've been taught is a mythical creature. They're not.
We have to go back a week and talk about the giants again.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Do you have red hair? And I'm not being a smart ass, so I'm seriously.
No, you can't tell the color hair, but you can see the enormity of this creature. It stands way above the tree line. The tree line is probably 50 feet tall.
Well, see, we were cracking into all this stuff on our Giants episode, and we were getting into stuff like that, and the Kandahar Giants and the caves and all that stuff, too.
We'll probably have
to revisit that topic on another day, though, because it's such a big topic. Literally.
Well, that's fine, Tuttles. What we'll do is I'll send it to Cibella as well as to Pine, and she can share that with you. But the point is, there's plenty to go over, and from whether it's flying dragons or giants or trolls, I've got incredible. I've got a list of all sorts of things, from Valkyries and all the mythical creatures which aren't mythical; they were real. Anyway.
Well, if you could find some information on the phoenix, I'd be inclined to really like to get some of that, too.
Okay, you're talking about the legendary phoenix?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you one note real quick, just a one quick comment, and I'll let you get back to your subject,
yep.
Is that I've studied history of throughout the world, as well as the United States. Here's my point. Very quickly, in 1843, the bald eagle became our national mascot. The national mascot before the bald eagle was the phoenix in the United States. Fact.
What?
Yeah. Pine has read some of my books, but I just thought you'd find that very interesting.
Yeah, we like the phoenix around here. That's my wife's spirit animal, and she actually has a giant phoenix tattooed on her arm.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, wow. What color is it?
red, yellow, and orange.
I was going to say orange. Okay.
Very fiery looking.
That's what I'm thinking. Wow, that's very brave of her. Okay. Oh, that's your spirit creature. Okay, understood. My children are into tattoos. Two of them are natural artists. Chris is in Medellin, Colombia, in Rio Negro. The other one, Crystal, is here as a nurse in Collier County, and they're both natural artists, so they've designed their own tattoos. Anyway, enough on that subject. But back to
the DeGray area just said Ben Franklin wanted your national bird to be the turkey.
Originally, that is correct. He suggested that, but what the public doesn't know is Ben Franklin was a traitor. He was French-born, and he was a British spy, and he was a double agent, and his code name was 0029. When they excavated his house 12 years ago, they found 10 bodies in the cellar.
Oh, I bet they did.
Six of them were, well, he was part of what is called he was a Rosicrucian, which is above a Freemason. And
wow, I've never heard of that.
They're both evil. And basically, he sold us out because what he did is, on every conference of the 1783, the Paris Treaty of, and Versailles of 1783, 5 and then 1789, the Jay Treaty, he represented the United States, but he was always telling the King of England all the secrets. So when he went back to negotiate the conferences and negotiated treaties, he was telling them exactly what our plans were. So, and now we have them immortalized on our $100 bill, or rather $50 bill. Anyway, the point is, we've had three incredible traders, and the other one was Andrew Jackson. He betrayed us because, he was married to a Jewish princess, and he was the one who got what is called the First National Bank established in 1791 against Congress and against George Washington's directives. Over.
Well, that's cool. We're going to have to, another topic for another day, but me and Q were texting. We're going to be wrapping it up and hitting midnight here. I'm getting a little tired. A lot of these people that are here currently weren't here at the beginning of the show. We could probably replay that song from the beginning of the show, and I'd like to thank everybody we had on our panel. Mr. Wilson, Pine, we had Elgato up here. We had Woody Bush. Of course, my co-host Q Bella, thank you very much for,
Oh, sorry, Q. I was just like bombarding you with images. I didn't know what time, like how late we were into the show.
That's okay. Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and call it, you guys. And as Tuttle said, we're gonna go ahead and play the song that we entered with. It is Zach Scott with the Kraken, and then we're gonna do a little outro song, and then we're gonna go ahead and end it. So thank you guys for everyone that's been here. I appreciate all of your inputs, and we'll see you next Thursday.
So mermaids are real. Mermaids
are real.
In my opinion, absolutely. Cool. Anyway, Cibella and Cubella, rather, and Tuttles, I really appreciate you doing this type of format because this is right up my alley, including Pines, so that we'll be able to contribute a lot of material that I think you can use on your shows. Over.
Greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much. Alrighty,
thanks
you guys.
Thanks everybody for coming on the show and all the hearts and all the good stuff and claps and all that.
Yeah, anytime, man. Anytime, bud.
Don't let the watchers get you, and see you guys next week.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm back, and I'm glad that I'm back, reporting for duty. My uniform may not conform to the regs. My shorts are worn down, no, for my legs. Quit laughing, it's fashion, I'm sagging. And actually, I'm asking you to ignore my booty. I perform bad if I don't look hip. My shorts gotta drag to the floor of the ship. The captain looked mad, maybe taking it back. But that's when I heard a wave and a crash. I tripped and fell, landed flat on my back. The ship's all swelled as I faded in black. Oh, captain, my captain, yo, what the heck happened? I'm gasping for air, and I do not know what happened. I looked through the water and stared in awe at the largest monster I ever saw. Oh, captain, my captain, we gotta go faster. The crack is attacking, and this is a disaster. And then I looked down, the captain was dead, flat on the ground, smashed to the deck. I grabbed the captain's cap, put it on my head. The crew knew that the old cap was dead. But who knew that the new dude straight from YouTube could act as captain instead? Listen up, crew, I'm Captain Zach. The news is true, the Kraken's back. We can't hang loose, we can't relax. Here's what we do, prepare to attack. Man the cannons, load them with lead. Send the spotter up the crow's nest. Bail water over the edge. Sail harder or we'll all be dead. Faster, faster, we gotta go faster. The Kraken's attacking and this is a disaster. The cephalopod thinks he owns the sea. And I pray to God that they never be. Faster, faster, we gotta go faster. The Kraken's attacking and this is a disaster. He killed our captain and he's not sorry. So we'll make some count look far.
You are now listening to Talk Hard with Tubbs and Q.
Everybody.